Okay, Ramblers,
let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Welcome back to Texas Jacks. Halftime, I just met one on the board. SP Futures down $1 after a big rally yesterday. Dow Futures up 12, NASDAQ down 7, so we got a little bit of a mixed open. Nothing major, which we don't expect. Well, I wouldn't expect a whole lot of move this morning after yesterday's big move up, but we will see if we continue or we do not. How are you, Kevin?
Good morning. I am doing just great today.
Well, that's a good thing. You ready for the temperature to go from 90 to 60?
Yeah, I actually love fall, so that's fine with me.
Yeah, the idea of having the air conditioning on in mid-September, mid to late September is, I don't know, I'm not so sure it's the best thing. But so Dow record closed yesterday. Everybody's happy. You had Ken Langone on TV telling you how Trump is the best president in the history of the world and the economy's great just because of him. Damn those statistics. It's just kind of a progression, but anyway, it's the way it is. The business is so
okay,
happy.
So sign off the show. Nothing to discuss.
Yeah, nothing to discuss. I did, you know, have a real interesting story that I think that.
Well, we could discuss ducks.
Yes. The quack quack kind.
Yeah. If for anybody who doesn't get that reference but heard Matt's chuckle in the background, I'll let Matt explain more. But he has been on a steady stream of duck tweets this week.
Ah,
I don't really know why. I just found it funny, and then a lot of people started finding it either annoying or funny, so I just kept going.
Well, it's
which ones prod you more, Matt? The funny, the people who think it's funny, or the people who find it annoying?
Oh, I love the people that find it annoying. They're the ones that keep driving me. If it was just funny, I probably would have stopped like after day one.
Well, we had a little bit of an interesting story. I don't know that it just goes to show you, Kevin, that when you don't charge for something, and it's in the, I don't know, a lot of little weird things in this little story I'm about to tell, but I heard the other night that one of the people who kind of has hung around the exchange areas, I guess I'll use the term panhandler, but everybody, all the traders, you get to know these people. I mean, it's a huge community, or was, and everybody, you know, how can I use this term politically, everybody had their bum they supported, basically. For lack of a better term, and Thomas used to say, "Chief, you're always giving money to all these guys." I go, "Thomas, they're just regular guys. They're just trying." But I never really just gave money to guys, but I always bought the streetwise from people. And from what people outside Chicago don't know, this group of people put together this little newspaper. So the guys that would be on the corner, instead of them just asking you for a dollar, they would sell you a paper. And there actually were people in there that wrote and stuff. And so I would always buy the streetwise, and of course it was a buck. I always give him $3, that kind of thing. And but at least I was buying something. They made sure these guys were sober. They made sure they came and got them, that they were dressed halfway decent. So it was a pretty serious step up, I thought, Kevin. You know, I mean, it was doing something. So of course I become pretty tight with this one guy, and I was writing my column at the time, Dollars and Cents, before I was on the air every day. I'd write them, you know, and it was, I'm going to say, Kevin, it was, with a little sprucing up, it was as good as just about anybody. You know, it wasn't, you know, I'm not saying it was all that great, but when it came to the market, I would do one on dividends and get real technical on how dividends work and things like that. You rarely see stuff like that. So I'm saying it was pretty good. So I actually tried to read one of the Streetwise one day, and there was not much content. So I said to the guy, "Look, do you know the people that run the Streetwise?" I said, "Yeah, I know. Tell them I'll give them my column. I'll just give it to them every week. They can put it in there. I'd rather somebody read it than just have it online." And okay, they wouldn't even talk to the guy because how could you know anybody that has a column, type of thing. Well, anyway, this one guy I'd heard the other night, before I even went outside, I'd heard that one of the guys had a heart attack, right? And I didn't know him that well, but I knew him. And so last night I walk out and I run to my guy, my streetwise guy, and the guy is all distraught because evidently he's the one who called 911 and they watched the guy die on the sidewalk and a whole bit. And he's like, "God, the guy's my best friend. Oh, now what am I going to do?" You know, type of thing. And it just goes to show you. You just can't walk by people, Kevin. Everybody has a story. Everybody has friends. Everybody has feelings. And then he says to me, "You know, one of the biggest disappointments I had is the lady would never even let me in the room to talk to her about your column because I was such a jamoke. Like I couldn't even give your good column away." And he goes, "I used to read it. I loved it." we couldn't give it away, Kevin. I mean, this world can be really, really screwed up at times. You know, I feel bad for this guy. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, everybody seems to think that nobody else has like feelings except them. And anyway, I don't really want to get involved in this too much more in this Brett Kavanaugh because I honestly don't know. And of course, this is the Huffington Post kind of thing, and which you know, I don't know. So some lady named Ashley Feinberg, whoever the hell that is. But anyway, she interviews a guy from that time, and she wrote up a bunch of facts here that I remember, I don't remember any of this crap basically. And she didn't know the guy she's interviewing didn't know Kavanaugh directly, evidently. And this is Georgetown Preparatory School, okay? And I'm going to say a lot of the stuff that these guys are doing, you know, you and I saw in college. Well, there wasn't a whole lot of sex going on in Notre Dame. There weren't any girls. But anyway, there was some, but not a whole hell of a lot. And I would say most everybody I know, I mean, everybody I knew was pretty deferential. I never saw anybody mistreat any lady, ever, at Notre Dame. Honestly, didn't. Anyway, most guys didn't have dates, so it's easy to not mistreat somebody when you don't have somebody. But anyway, this guy, this is a fairly serious indictment of this place. He goes, the entire thing was, "Don't be a narc. Don't tell," said the former student. He overlapped at the school with Supreme Court Brett Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh was class 83. But these guys are high school. He's the code of preppy omerta. He says, but then you're getting all these 14, 15-year-olds, 17-year-old kids doing whatever the bleep, this is in the article, they wanted to do with no repercussions. Drugs everywhere, partying everywhere, drinking, just whatever you wanted to do. It was unbelievable, off the rails, and that's just how it was. You know, why did I suspect that, Kevin? Because these people come out of the guys in the CBOE that were in these prep schools would tell me the same thing. He goes, "Sexual misconduct," the former student says, "was routine." Shrugged off. "My friend who went to one of her private girl schools, she woke up one day with a guy on top of her," the former student said. "And this was not just a situation where people talk about it. You would just say, 'Oh, well, how'd you do? How was your weekend?' 'Oh, well, I got attacked.' And that was just normal. But the girls didn't tell. Nobody told." He goes, "It was just, I can't imagine these kids, 14, 15, 16, having all this much of unsupervision." And he says, one of the biggest ones, remember, I didn't realize that Robert Kennedy's kid was in this school when he overdosed. And he was talking about him in this article. He goes, "Yeah, all the big parties were at his place. And the school would escort you. The police would escort you to the party because they didn't want you driving. They'd actually bring you there knowing there was nothing but drugs and booze and they wouldn't bust anybody." I mean, well, you know, what the hell, Kevin? I mean, is this just a different world than you and I grew up in or what? I mean, we did that in high school or college. We were 20.
Yeah, because it's a high-end, you know, a much more privileged world. Now, I don't know. In the case of the two people involved here, I know where they went to school. I know the kinds of people they had. I went to school at Loyola in Wilmette, and there were a lot of very, very wealthy people there, but I wasn't one of them. So I don't know what specifically what Kavanaugh's family's circumstances are, or Dr. Ford's family circumstances were. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say where they fit in on the privilege continuum.
Well, I'm going to say, Kevin, I don't know if you agree with me on this. I will ask you. To me, there's a difference between wealth and privilege. I mean, you and I know several people. I don't want to say their names.
Well, think of it as entitlement rather than...
Well, but I mean, we know a couple of guys from, I won't say my year or your year, but a year in the middle, so you know what I'm talking about, that have a lot of kids, and these guys got a lot of dough, and those kids are not entitled. they had to work after high school every night. I mean, the parents did one hell of a nice job making sure people weren't entitled. Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, it's there's a difference between having money and entitled.
Yeah, so they can talk about it, about the environment in general, but I don't know what to do with that in the specific case.
I don't either. But it kind of reinforces my suspicion that these are not people quite like you and me.
Yeah, very possible.
I mean, this guy says two prep students, David's brother Doug, whoever David was, and his friend Derek Evans had helped Robert David Kennedy score the coke. Doug, class of 86, had been the center of Georgetown prep school life, which the former student characterized as weekly frat-style parties with the neighboring sister schools and other private schools. God bless it, Kevin. At least in frat school, you're 20, not 16, for God's sake. And as, now, you know, he said the biggest thing that registered on campus when was his death. It actually, the FBI showed up one day and was questioning a student, and then he says, everybody saw the FBI quiz the student. Everybody was like, oh bleep, what happened? How's this going to affect us? Were we involved in this happening with us? The guy, you know what he did? He injected cocaine essentially in his nuts so he wouldn't show them needle mark. Have you ever even heard of that? You inject it in your groin?
No, I've never heard of such a thing.
Maddie, have you even heard of such a thing? That David Kennedy, he'd injected himself in his groin so nobody would see a needle mark?
I'm sure I've heard it, but I certainly don't know anyone that's ever done that.
Yeah, there's some places I'm not willing to stick a needle. I'm sorry.
I mean, Kevin, this is not at Marist High School, this didn't go on. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. So, you know, what I have found this week is that people who have formed opinions about innocent or guilty have formed them totally based on what they really like the outcome to be.
Oh, absolutely. And I find that disgusting on either side.
That's why I really just don't want to get into any discussion about that. Let's let it play out. I don't know that it's going to go anywhere because it's a really hard case to make. So the only thing is, will she testify to Congress? If she does, will she convince any people to change their votes, who change from how they were planning to vote? I don't know the answer. We'll see.
Yeah, we're not supposed to agree on radio. I'm with you 100%, but I'm tying this article in to a lot of what Lou was saying yesterday, that we're getting ourselves locked into this Washington preferential ruling class culture. And we can't wait to throw more and more power at them because everything we do, we want a law and we want somebody looking at it. And to be perfectly honest, I don't want these guys governing me. They're not me. I'm not saying our group is perfect. We're not. But let's put it this way. The thought of one of these guys caring about some guy croaking on the sidewalk that's a bum, I think they probably wouldn't, Kevin. And I'm just saying. I don't know that for a fact.
Tom, I think that's why a lot of people who voted for Trump did so, is because he wasn't them either. Now, he may be a rich guy, and there may be a lot you don't like about him, but he wasn't them.
You are spot on, by the way.
And I think in the primary season, compared to the other Republicans, it was a vote for not those guys. And then you got to the general election, and a lot of those same people voted for not those people. You know, Hillary being the representative.
You know who you sound like? Is your buddy Newt Gingrich. Newt says that the Obama phenomenon, or the Trump phenomenon, was a direct follow-up to the Obama phenomenon. People thought they were doing that with Obama, a guy who had only been there a year, didn't have a chance to get co-opted, whatever you want to call it. And obviously that wasn't good enough because he piled right into the group. And now,
little did they realize what it meant to be an Illinois politician.
Well, you know, I'm sure we don't have the tape, but when he got elected and I said to the listeners, I go, you know what? I will admit, I voted for the man. I think he has some intellect. I think his heart is probably in the right place. But I have two problems. There's no such thing as a reformed candidate from Illinois, and a guy has no business background. Those are my two concerns. And obviously, they played out, didn't they? There was no such thing as...
They certainly did.
And now, this guy, if you'd have told me in a nanosecond that he was going to have a guy like Wilbur Ross telling him about tariffs, and the guy's 105 years old, and he's fighting the mercantilist war of the 1600s and surrounding him with those kinds of people. I mean, I didn't vote for him anyway, but I sure as hell didn't vote for Hillary. The reason why I didn't vote for either one of them were for personal reasons, Kevin. I'd heard so much about how he stiffed people and stuff, contractors, and, and you know, that kind of thing, and how his old man kicked people out of the rent control buildings. I just couldn't go there. And Hillary, to me, is a consummate crook. And made
the difference was, and we did talk about this a lot, and it's that simply that, you know, I always felt that there were unethical business practices. It was part of the Trump package. I didn't know that there were illegal business practices. I still don't know that there are. But
well, not paying people to
work
for.
I thought unethical was there. On the other side, I was pretty darn sure that illegal was there along with unethical.
Well, that's another point, Kevin. And I was talking to somebody the other night, and I said, you know, I have my father's a policeman, my uncle's a policeman, my grandfather was a policeman, or my stepfather's dad was a policeman, and I knew all kinds of guys. I played ball with them every Sunday morning. The nicest people on earth, worked their fannies off. They wouldn't anything they wouldn't do for you, and I think they try and do their job pretty well. But the entire totality of it, the totality of the justice system in this country, the way it's being played out against like the little person, is absolutely a joke. I mean, there's no traffic enforcement. There's no any kind of burglary enforcement. You call them if you're done. If somebody steals money out of your bank, they don't look at it. They don't care. I mean, this thing has gotten to become a travesty. How is it that Trump could stiff literally hundreds of people along the way, and I honestly mean that, and not one of them ever say, this is fraud, show up at the door, hey, do you owe this guy, do you got a contract? It ended up being in the courts never worked for the little guy, he played him out, everybody said, it's too expensive, I can't do it, he's got a $100,000 attorney, I'm not going to hire some guy for 50 grand to get my 20 grand, and you know, the entire system does not work for people we know, Kevin. I honestly believe that, and it needs to change, and how it needs to change, I don't know. I mean, how is it that, you know, the rest of the world is still making 50-some thousand, maybe they're up to like 58 lately, and for that person to go to court, the lawyer makes $800 an hour when they used to make 100. And so he's entirely priced out of the justice system. This really, really sucks, I think. I mean, everybody knows my attitude about this stuff. None of this stuff is open to anybody, I don't think.
You're really about the only place you can go and have a fair shake because of the... you know, what goes into the claims is small claims court.
Is there even one of those around anymore?
Yeah.
Because I know arbitration has now become just as bad as court. It used to be on the security side. But even then, it's $100,000 for a case. It's gotten to the point
where... Yeah, and yet, you know, when I worked on contracts for various kinds of purchases and services, I always insisted on arbitration because at least that puts some kind of limit on how deep the pockets had to be.
Well, I mean, I'm saying the reason why people voted for Trump is because for an incredible percentage of this country is not working. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, do you?
Yeah, and I actually think in some ways it actually is working a little better of late, but not only a little. You know, it's funny that because you know we talk about it economically and we talk about wages and we've actually seen some wage gains in the last couple of reports. But I need to fish it out and tweet it out. But there was a study that says actually a lot more has gone into benefits than wages, and there's been a lot of increase in benefit spending.
Well, if you have
those kinds of things, I think are good.
But they're also part of. They're part of the dishonesty. I know I talk about this a little too much. They're part of the dishonesty we're foisting on people. When you take the medical thing, healthcare, and you pull it out of your CPI, what you just said, by the way, is gospel. There are people who say they haven't gotten a raise in 5 years, yet their medical care has gone from $1,000 a month to $1,600 or something like that. So in fact, they have gotten a raise. A dramatic raise, they're just not seeing it.
Yeah, well, and some of the things like, you know, the bonuses that a lot of companies did right at the beginning after the tax cuts were announced, those don't count in the wages. Those go in the benefits bucket.
Well, but those are also, how do you get on the one side of a, you know, you got to get on the president's good side and let these people know that there's a little bit of a trickle through, but we don't know it's not much of a trickle through. I mean,
a 200-person manufacturing company doing the same thing is not, you know, angling to get on the president's good side.
Well, right, I agree, and I think don't get me wrong. I was always I thought that the double taxation of corporate taxes along the way was really pretty. I would have done it a little bit differently, Kevin. I would have said that the corporate. First of all, I don't agree with the pass through rate. I think everybody should come to the same spot, whether you're an individual. Say the number's 35 or 32, whatever the hell it is. You pick it. I don't care what it is. I think the individual should top out at 35. The corporation dividends and what they pay should they should pay 35, and when they pay a dividend, they should get a credit of 15%, because you shouldn't have to pay twice. And so you, the shareholder, because I think by doing it this way, we have created these colossus companies, because there's such a huge tax advantage for them to keep the money and them to spend it, than giving it to you, the shareholder. They never give it to you. I mean, the reason why Warren Buffett can do what he's doing is because he hides behind a tax code.
And what's cool about it, Tom, is that that's the same mentality that we get in government. Isn't that neat?
Yeah,
because government's gonna knows what's right for you and me too.
Yeah, I mean,
just like the corporate, so much of the corporate leadership says we know what's better for our shareholders.
Well, but if they've got a 20% head start on dividends by keeping it versus giving it to you, it's hard to argue with them. Really? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the break, I'll walk through this a little bit, because I know I'm skipping around, but it's the S&P futures are down a buck, Dow futures up 12, NASDAQ futures up 3. Looks like we're pausing a little bit. We have oil up 53 cents, 70.85. We got the 10-year yield hanging over 3 at 3.07. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments, You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures down a buck. We're just flopping around the flat lines here. Dow's been strong though. Dow's up 12. I mean, a lot of Apple, and whenever you... The two stocks, all you have to trade these days, if you're in the information pool out of the president's White House, no tariffs, Boeing and Apple buy, tariffs, Boeing and Apple sell. That's, you don't have to worry about anything else, currencies, bonds, anything. Just trade those two stocks. They are now the stocks to trade because the word is all about tariffs. When it was interest rates, it was other stuff to trade. But now, just those two. Oil up 53 cents, 70.85, 10-year yield 3.074. So showing no hint of going back under 3, at least for the last couple days. DAX up 64.5%, FTSE up 68.9%, CAC around up 38.7%. Those guys are catching up to us from yesterday. probably they should. Kneecap 195, 0.8%, 23,869. These guys are the highest they've been in a few months now. Shanghai up 68, 2.5%, 2797. So they've blown back through 2700 really, really strongly. Hang Seng up 475, 1.7. Somehow or other, the hint over there is that there's some kind of a tariff coming before the election. We'll see. I mean, they're probably right. Matter of fact, I'm gonna say the real percentage of being right. Oil up 53 cents, Brent up 85, that spread has expanded some. It's back now, back up to, $8.70. It was, 10.50, 7, now it's back up to 8.75. Gold is, down a buck, silver up 8 cents, so silver 14.39, gold 12.10, copper up 4 cents. Again, this is in keeping with the Asian markets going up. The copper's almost back to 280, platinum is 8.35. Manny, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have an issue on the Eisenhower already. I-290 westbound just before Harlem Avenue. Disabled vehicles blocking the left lane. That's causing delays as folks navigate around that. And tow truck is arriving and trying to get that out of the way. That says the old post office out to Mannheim at 34 minutes right now. To Route 390 is 47 minutes. So already increased travel times on the outbound Ike. So keep that in mind. Inbound side looking normal so far. Same with the Stevenson. Southside expressways are flying. No issues to report there. Kennedy and Edens are looking good, too. We do have one other issue in the burbs. Looks like Veterans Memorial, I-355 southbound. There is an exit ramp closed, and for some reason my screen just went away. There it is. At Lake Street, the southbound Lake Street exit from southbound 355 to westbound Lake Street is closed due to an accident at Lake and Swift. So if that's your exit, you're going to have to skip to the next one because that one is closed. Weather today, cloudy skies early before turning partly cloudy. Temperatures will drop. We were in the 80s overnight. We're down to 79 right now, and that's going to be our high is where we're at right now. We'll end up in the low 70s when it's all said and done, and then the 60s this evening. So it's if you're looking for fall weather, like the guys were talking about earlier, it's coming as soon as this afternoon, and it's going to be football weather all weekend, so that'll be nice. Right now it's overcast and 79, which is our high. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 99. Right now it's clear and 79. In sports, Cubs were off for the first time in a month, literally. They played 30 games in 30 days, and they were off yesterday, and then now they begin the second half of the Crosstown Classic this afternoon at Guaranteed Rate Field on the south side. 3:10 Chicago time first pitch. Quintana versus Lopez as Jose faces his former team. Cubs magic number remains 8 as the Brewers were off yesterday as well. White Sox beat the Indians in 11 innings, 5-4 on a Matt Davidson single. And the Diamondbacks were off. They host the Rockies in a big one for Colorado beginning tonight. And Thursday Night Football, Cleveland Chiefs won their first game since 2016, led by Baker Mayfield, who came in for the injured Tyrod Taylor and led the Browns back from a 14-0 deficit to beat the Jets 21-17.
I was reading the power rankings, and they're not at the bottom anymore. They got the Cardinals and the Bills are at the bottom of the pack.
I would agree with that. I think the Browns are much better than they've been, and they're going to play everyone tough. And so far, they could easily be 3-0. All three games have been close, and they tied the first one, and then they lost last week in a close game, and then they've had some kicker issues. Otherwise, like I said, they could be 3-0. So good for them.
Well, crummy teams never pay a good kicker because they don't think they need him, and all of a sudden they get better, and they wonder why they don't have one.
Right. I guess it does help when you have like 10 first-round picks every year. Yeah. You're going to accumulate some talent.
even by accident, you're going to – even if you just read other people's draft ratings and just pick what they say to pick, you're probably going to be hey, Kevin, real quick, we got a question here. But before we – I was reading that article earlier about the Georgetown prep, and it strikes me that, again, as we talk about laws that are kind of useless in this country, the whole idea of not having sex with a minor – you know, below 18 and somebody's a criminal. And obviously, if somebody our age is messing around with a 16-year-old, it's pretty disgusting. I mean, I'm all with the law. But when you actually look at the law and you say, well, okay, how many people under 18 have been sexually active? Isn't the number like 60% or something? It's incredibly
high.
That's
a big number.
So this Georgetown prep, and if you work your way through, just be a bleep about the law. Let me get this straight. There's 14-year-olds having sex, so one of them is 14 and a half, one of them is 14. They can do whatever they damn well please. And as soon as they get to this 18 number, who's ever older, guy or girl, has got to put a sack on it or something for 6 months, because then now they're a felon, now it's okay again. after the 6 months are over, they both hit 18. I mean, the idea that a law could ever be constructed that way is sort of bizarre. I mean, I don't think anybody at 14 should be able to say.
I think some states, and I don't know how many, and I really can't cite which ones. I just am going from old memory. Actually, have laws that will accommodate an age differential. So, if you're looking at 18 and 17, or even 19 and 17, then they don't consider that problematic. It's the real focus, belongs with adults taking advantage of children.
Well, the focus
that's what you're trying to accomplish.
But you also have a bazillion people in their teens still getting pregnant, for God's sake. I mean, when I was in Marist,
although I have a headline sitting somewhere that shows that the percentage of teen pregnancies drops significantly after age 20.
Well,
I swear that's a real headline.
God. Remember the one with Nixon? Nixon remains firm on pullout. It was actually a headline, man. It's somebody put like in the Times or something. How scary is that? Anyway, we do have a question, a serious question from we'll just give the first name, from Norris. Chief, I listen every morning. There's been a lot of talk about the tariffs, but I don't remember anyone has ever asked what happens to the revenue collected by the tariffs. Doesn't it just become a consumption tax? I'm going to say I am so happy we got this question. Kevin, what have I been talking about for the last 6 months? Does anybody realize that this is just a tax, for God's sake? That go back to the year before the income tax was, 1914, the amendment passed that you can tax people's income? 45-50% of the entire take of the U.S. government was tariffs. This is another one of these. What was the city tax they just came through yesterday? Maybe something they don't want you to do? It's not sugar tax. It was something else they don't want you doing, so they put a big tax on it. I don't know what the hell it was. The new cigarette thingies, the vapos, vape things. Because there's nicotine in there, they're going to help you by tripling the tax. Please help me by charging me more. Help me. You know, I mean, do these people actually think we're stupid enough to believe it? I think, what the problem is, Kevin? We are stupid enough to believe it. I mean, does anybody not think that
we must be, because we keep doing it.
I know. We've got a government that after 11 months, you're not going to hear President Bonespurs bleeping out on this one, bleeping out, tweeting out, what's the difference, that we're back to an $850 billion budget deficit with 1 month to go. I don't think we'll get a trillion, but we'll get pretty darn close. And what did Wilbur Ross say? Like after 1 month of the tariffs, how much money they'd already collected? $20 billion or something? I mean, why do people not? We have some pretty smart people. I mean, I know everybody's got their job to do and their family to raise, and they don't have time to be doing this stuff like I do, because that's my job, to watch this for clients. But for God's sake, a tariff, when you go to IKEA and you buy the shot glasses because somebody bought the good booze and they're $1.10 and not $1, it's because of the 10% tariff. Duh! Is that bad enough?
Yeah. But see, those who don't shop at IKEA can't relate.
Anywhere you go. What do you think this Christmas is going to be like with the toys?
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the pricing looks like. Now, I will tell you that the stores are already gearing up a little earlier than usual and expecting a lot of volume, but they're gearing up for the hiring, the temporary hiring that they do. So, they're expecting something, because I guess with more people working, that you would get more more disposable income. So we'll see about that. But I said this all along. I know you agreed. Was whatever gains you get, and the deficit is always a concern. But whatever benefits you get from the tax increase, it feels like we're just giving them back on tariffs.
Well,
the strategy better work.
Well, that's right.
Although most people will price to market, they're not doing cost plus. So most people are going to be at whatever the market will bear. And once the market gets used to higher prices anyway, they're probably not going to roll them back. So.
I think some of these firms, the Ken Langones of the world, who was on yesterday, by the way, is one of the founders of Home Depot. I think that these firms are stunned at how much pricing power they actually have. I think Home Depot could raise everything 20% tomorrow, and they'd find Menards and Lowe's go up by 10 or 15. I don't think people even notice. As long as you keep it away from the As long as you still have a few sales, and keep it away from the items that people, signature items like your tile and your plasterboard and stuff. Keep it in the, keep it the screws, the nails, all that kind of stuff. Not the sanders, but the sander belts. I mean, you know, I know how to do this. I could be pretty, pretty
well. And also consider that very few people are in a constant state of remodeling a building. So, like some folks we know.
Yes.
And as a result, that, you know, you don't notice. You don't notice when you go in there, you know, once a year or once every 2 years, to, because you're going to do a project. You don't really notice what's you know what's changed in pricing.
But that's exactly. But I have people that. People, and Maddie knows what I'm talking about. I have guys that, you know, sometimes work at my place. I know where they work for their real jobs, those kinds of things. And I'm going to say that every one of them, if you were to go through and did a full budget of raises they get at the job, you know, money they might be making on side jobs and things like that, and you ramp it up against any sort of, because they're all homeowners, up against tax increase, they all pay their own insurance. Insurance increases, I'm going to say in the last 2 years, not that I want to give a shot at President Bonesberg, I'm going to say in the last 4 or 5 years, my point is, no matter which one was president, I think they're behind from 5 years ago, Kevin. They're not ahead. They're not ahead. I really wish they were, but they're not. Just saying.
Yeah, I think it varies from profession to profession.
And city to city. City.
Well, yeah, you're right about that too, because you know, how much of the housing cost of living has gone back to where it was after it fell for a while.
Well, I think what's also happening, Kevin, and we need to get somebody who's more of an expert on this. Did he say expert? What I think I don't necessarily understand. We have a friend who probably could explain all this to it. But what's happening out in the Park Forest and the places where Audrey's been selling some homes? And she's telling me all the taxes on these homes, and I absolutely can't believe it. What's happening, Kevin, is like, for instance, your Lincoln Mall closes, okay? Which at one point for that area was a big tax generator, and now they close. I mean, a lot of these malls are closing, as people are aware of. Lincoln Mall closes, and Lincoln Mall maybe at one point was, you know, 30% of the taxes of one of those towns. They're not that big, the towns. Or... I mean, I don't think anybody, for instance, like Janesville, the Chevy plant, Oldsmill plant, whatever the hell it was, closes. And I think what ends up happening, and again, I'm not a tax expert, residential tax expert, is the city, they might cut back on something, but they just sprinkle the tax that the plant, Lincoln Mall, whatever it is, not plan, they add it to other people's taxes. Hey, we still got to have a school, we still got to have a police force. And at some part, they're correct. But hell, Kevin, do you think you can drop a $6,000 tax bill on a guy who can only afford a $56,000 house and expect to get it paid? I mean, talk about not getting blood out of a turnip, as the Irish would say. I mean, do you think this guy's got $6,000 in a bank account to write you a check? Guy or lady? I mean, how would you even dream that way? You've got to then half the people don't pay. So then what do? You got to raise it again next year to account for half the people that don't pay. I mean, is this a snowball going downhill? Like, I think it is.
Yeah, you may be right about that. And that, you know, it is one of the, let's put it this way. Let me shift it a little bit.
Yeah.
Rather than run off in that direction, tell me about these people who are advertising like crazy on Chicago radio about, about the anti-tax people.
They don't name a person. There's nobody. I can't. How do I know even to invite on a show? They don't name any of the guys or the ladies who are running.
I have to look on their website.
I mean, they got to be there, but
because it's kind of an interesting approach. But the one thing that strikes me about the ads is that they're saying is just. By the way the taxes are crawling up, that it's a systematic seizure of your home.
which it pretty much is.
They're kind of right.
Absolutely there. The amount of, if you look at what's going on, and I honestly believe it, I would never, you know, if the Ram father was in here, I wouldn't ask him to his face, by the way, are you trying to kick all the black people out of this town in these neighborhoods? Yet I also know, Kevin, I mean, it's not like, I haven't seen it before. I mean, 25 years ago, or 20 years ago, whatever, pick a name back there, I would have told you, if you would have asked me, and I don't think I would have gotten any argument on anybody, I would have said, look at these Robert Taylor homes. Look at this Cabrini Green. Cabrini Green more so than Robert Taylor's home. This entire area around it has become developed, 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 like Harlem. And there's people who want to move in here and spend $300,000. This property is too valuable to be public housing in somebody's mind. And, oh, by the way, people want this property. The right people are going to get it. It's not like you and I can go into an auction and bid for a square block of Cabrini. I don't think that's ever going to happen. And yet, and here it is 25 years later, there's no Cabrini Green, and there isn't a citizen anywhere. I mean, there might be one or two, because I talked to a couple of them, and I only know bits and pieces of the story. There can't be a citizen here that can tell you how the hell that happened. How did this property go from the CHA, HUD, government stuff, to all of a sudden titled other people, and these people are just gone? Was there somebody in a back room, the invisible hand of Chicago corruption, different than the invisible hand of Adam Smith? I mean, same thing if you went to the South Side.
What's great about Chicago corruption is it really isn't invisible.
Right.
It's out there for everyone to see.
But you still don't know.
And yet it keeps happening.
Well, you still don't. I mean, so for me, for somebody to say this can't happen on the South and West Side, why can't it? It just happened in two places. I mean, you just saw it happen. Now, I mean, I've heard rumors that a lot of the stuff on the South Side, it's being built, it's being bought up, you know, by tax. There's a house that goes down, the people are gone. Oh, by the way, they owe $1,000 in taxes. Somebody gets in a room, they auction off, and they're going to get it for $800 or something. I tell you what, Kevin, you and I will never know where that room is. If we hire the best law firm, maybe if we hired Eddie Burke's law firm or somebody like that, we could maybe get into that group, but it's going to take us a little while. Plus, you have to have, I mean, you at least have two children. I don't. Do you have a 50-year plan? You know, are you going to, do your kids even care? I mean, are you going to say that, or do you, if you had a grandkid that was 7 or 8 and you knew he was pretty darn bright, or she, you might say, I'm going to buy up 40 properties on the South Side for a total of $40,000. And somewhere along the line, when this young lady or this young man is in his 40s, he's going to be wealthy. You don't have that time horizon. Neither do I. But somebody seems to have. I mean, that's corporations do. The University of Chicago did. DePaul did. That's why the University of Chicago was buying crap property around them before I even went there. In the early 70s, they'd buy up a half a block, two blocks away. And all of a sudden, look at the place. It looks like a DePaul. DePaul owns the damn neighborhood. I mean, if you have that kind of a time horizon, you can take advantage of this kind of stuff. But a regular person can't, doesn't want to maybe, and can't politically. I mean, when anybody says, how could they possibly be trying to get these people out of there? They kicked the whole, how many people lived in Cabrini Green? 100,000? They kicked those people out. They didn't care. Am I right?
Yeah, well, and it happened slowly for a little while, and then all of a sudden.
Yep. Anyway, so what about football? This isn't another Saturday where all the teams play the crummy teams. Are all the conferences starting this weekend or not? I think they are, aren't they?
I think most of the conferences are starting. I'd have to pull up the schedule, but most of the conferences are starting, and although Wake Forest doesn't have a conference game because they're playing Notre Dame.
Don't
be surprised if you see a new quarterback, by the way, at Notre Dame this
that's
week.
What I'm hearing. Who are you getting?
Probably be Ian Book.
Okay. Well, the idea of running him in
and then that of course gives Brian Kelly license to do what he always does when he goes into an area where there's all kinds of rain and water, and that's sling it 55 times.
Yeah. Well, the guys, the new people that are on the radio, we're not they're in three games and they're already all over Kelly's stuff, and they go, if he's going to run, why would you take Wedbush out? He's a better runner. I mean, if you're going to run anyway, why take the runner out? I mean, duh.
Well, it's the classic example is because their running plays don't do what Brandon Wedbush does well. You know, if you ask him to read an option, for example, you know, he's not good at that. You know, just because a guy's fast and athletic doesn't make him an option quarterback.
Right.
You have to be able to, and he doesn't read defenses passing, he doesn't read them well running. So what do? Well, you know, you do a lot of power, power running and counter plays for the quarterback to keep the ball, so you use what he does well, and then, you know, and then when you do have them throw, it's kind of timing stuff where you don't have to do a lot of reading, or maybe you have a pre-snap read and that's about it. And you know, that would seem smart, but that's not what they do. They run the same stuff no matter who the quarterback is, year in and year out.
Well, Kevin, it also seems to me, and again, you're much more into this, and Lou knows more than certainly more than me, but if you have a quarterback under center, that is better for your running game because your running back is moving forward when you give him the ball, to me. And now, obviously, if you throw from there, it's probably a little better to throw out of the shotgun, but people have thrown from under center a long time. Now, if you're in the shotgun and you have a few running plays out of the shotgun to keep people honest, that to me makes a lot of sense as well. Teams that could do both of those, I think, are pretty good. But to have your entire running attack come out of a shotgun, I think it's flawed. I mean, it's just not as good. It's like having a play action every play. At some point, they're not worried about the run if it's third and nine or something. I don't think that makes sense. Do you, or am I just being old school here?
Well, we may both be old school, but that is what makes sense to me as well. I don't understand the philosophy, but more to the point. You know, we've seen a lot of great coaches over the years, and it's one thing to go into the NFL and say, here's the style I'm going to run, because you can accumulate and keep the personnel to do it. In college, you're going to turn it over. So why would you not, why would you not want to be able to adapt to what you have at any given time?
Well, I think
just seems to make sense to me.
To me, it's more consistent. And a school like Notre Dame or like Michigan, like Ohio State, because of the net they cast for their recruiting, I've never seen any one of those schools without a talented tailback or two or three or four. I've never seen any of those schools, although this year, since the Irish graduated too, the offensive line's going to be a little weaker for a year, but they all pretty much have, you know, pretty standout offensive lines, it seems like your running game is somewhat predictable. But I've seen, and once in a while you get a really good quarterback, because you never really know how those guys are going to land. And if you end up having a good quarterback, good end in the same year, well, that's spectacular. But even that quarterback, isn't always a senior. When he was a sophomore, he might have been, you know, thrown it to the wrong guy a few times. So, I mean, you have to have your core, like the Air Parsegians of the world did, of things you always did well. And I've seen this guy run on third and one from the shotgun spot. Why? Why would you ever do that?
Yeah, let's pick it up after break. I have a little more to say about it.
All right, buddy. SP Futures, still down a buck. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTI.com. PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happening.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and Jocks. Sometime always. Mr. Matt Weber, Kevin O'Neill, still with us. SP Futures, NASDAQ flat, Dow up 12. Hey, another big rally in this copper today. 5 cents. This is probably the big news of the morning. Boy, David, man, oh, man. Kevin, he called this 261. He thought it was a bottom. This is 18 cents in 4 days. That's a big move in copper. It's like 9%. And that's a big contract, too. I mean, we don't have anybody trading copper futures, but God, I wish we did, and I wish they were long. What do you think, man? Not short, long.
We need to start listening to David.
Yes. Once in a while.
Sometimes, right?
Once in a while, me too. You know, I mean, yeah. I should listen to myself once in a while. Self, listen to yourself. How's that for a note on the board? although I'm not sure about the Hooch stock, Kevin. You've been trading that stock, Tilray or whatever it is?
Don't know what that is.
It's a Canadian marijuana stock that...
Somehow
Cramer put in play the other day, and one day it traded 300. I was looking at a 190, then it was 240, then 270. I didn't see it go 300, but evidently touched 300, stopped trading, was offered at 140, opened at 150, and it closed that day at 220, and then yesterday morning I think it was 250 or something, it closed at 160 or something. It's not for the faint of heart, shall we say. It was like a dot-bomb company that went, you know, in 1999. You know, one of those things where you had no idea other than they had a website. You know, it's back when, you know, as soon as you got flowers.com, your company was worth $90 bazillion, even though you didn't have a company type of thing. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah. You just bought the URLs.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, before we finish
shall we say the domain names?
Yes.
Would be proper, more proper.
Go on. Before we finish the thing, you said you were going to say after the break, I oopsied last break, and What I was talking about on the dividend piece is right now the people who individuals pay what 35% max, Kevin, or 33 or something. Yet if you pass through income from up to 300,000 from like a limited liability corp or from a subchapter S, you only pay 21 up to 300, which you know is fine. But I think the way things should be even, you should never have a how you're organized determine how you're taxed. It should end up the same place, I think. So whatever the individual is should be for the LLC, should be the subchapter S. And the corporation dividend plus in there should end up in the same spot, I think. That way you don't force people to make decisions based on your tax stuff. I mean, I think even in today's world of the corporate boards are pretty much become eunuchs. I think that if you had a situation where if the company paid 35% tax, and then if they paid a dividend, they got a tax break essentially equal to what the person getting on the other end has to pay, I think that would be fairer. Now, whether people want the tax code to be fair or not, that's, I mean, you obviously don't want, yes, you want it to be fair for everybody but you. You want a spot, right? You want.
Yeah, well, fair is a subjective term, yes, is what you're really saying.
Well, if I pay nothing and you pay 100, that's fair. Because, I mean, I'm a better guy than you, right?
No, that is not fair. The reverse is fair.
Ah, okay. Then what about Maddie Weber pays enough for both of us? Then neither one of us have to pay.
I think we got a deal here.
We got a deal.
Pass that law.
it's like going into, it's like if you and I are 50-year-old or 60-year-old auto workers, well, we still want to make 35, but Maddie just got hired once. Why don't we start him out at 15 for his first 40 years or so? And so we make sure we...
Well, but I will offer a tax break for Maddie, and that is very simply that any duck-related income.
So what's with the ducks? Exempt. Yeah, what's with the ducks?
There's nothing to say. Just a dumb thing that I think is funny that I've been tweeting out on Twitter for the last, like, week.
Anything that makes somebody laugh is
not... Sort of tickled the funny bone.
Yeah.
Anything that's not that makes people laugh is not useless. It's good. People
there you go.
For
2 seconds, I've had multiple people reach out to me and be like, I don't know why, but that's really funny. I'm like, I don't know either, but it's just funny.
It's sort of like, who's the guy that used to write the, was it Gilbert? Dilbert was the...
The little
cartoons about basically the cubicle world. I saw one that he did, Kevin, and of course it made no sense. Except I thought it was freaking hilarious. Who's the lady in there? She asks, yes, Dilbert, what are you doing? And he says, I'm moving the walls in from the vice president's cubicle. Like I move them in a tenth of an inch a week, so he won't notice. And all of a sudden, the next one, you see this guy trying to squeeze in the front part. It happened so gradually that he still thought it was the same size. Yet he couldn't fit through the door. I'm like, why would I think that was so funny? But it is interesting, tell you what, if you do something gradual to people, be it taxation, be it whatever, you can get even lying to people. You can get pretty far with it if you just do it gradually, right? It's hard to do it all in one day.
Boiled frog, yeah. Go all boiled frog on them, yep.
Yeah, it's a... All right, Kevin, you were talking about futsal.
Oh, yeah, just real quickly. I think if you're running... Basically, if you're running a team of any kind, but, it's not the same in the NFL because you're working a draft. So, you know, that's a little bit different. You can draft the kinds of players you want. There's not a lot of... choice in the matter, so there may be some things that you want to do to attract free agents and so on in terms of style of play, but in general this doesn't apply to the NFL. But in college, where you may have a school where you have, say, admissions restrictions, where you can't admit everybody you want, well, it seems to me that a smart strategy would be to say, who can I always get? What position can I always get? And I will say in the case of Notre Dame is they can always get good linemen. That's not a problem. You can go to some of the best, the best suburban schools that are really, really academically good schools, and you can get offensive linemen. So wouldn't you sort of build your offensive strategy around that notion that I am gonna, I can have a power run team. Stanford has done this. And as a result has had, for our lifetime anyway, unprecedented sustained success doing it. They've had some teams that have been, late in the season national championship contenders, and the worst they ever are is pretty darn good.
Yep.
It's the part I don't understand, and this has been true of the last several Notre Dame coaches is, why don't they do that? They can beat Stanford, but they can do it better.
I'm gonna lob one at you there, and I don't know if this is a real story or not. But I was talking to a guy. You would expect in our day, Kevin, Notre Dame always got if they wanted them. They got the Tom Thayers out of Joliet Catholic. They got guys like that. They got all the guys. They got Ziggy Zarapsky from the South Side. They got George Conner from the South Side. I mean, all those people, if you had a chance to play for Notre Dame, you did. And if they didn't get them, Purdue or Iowa got them, right? I mean, Alex Karras went to Iowa. Dave Butts went to Purdue. I mean, those are the schools that were the cradle of linemen, correct? And I've heard that the Irish have absolutely pissed off a lot of the schools here because they expect, for a while, they expected dramatic help in I'll say, directing their football players to Notre Dame, and the guy he's 50th in the class or 40th in the class, and they say, how about our valedictorian? We don't want him. And they got to the point where we only want your football player. We don't want anybody else. You know, we're going countrywide we're going overseas. We're doing something for this broad, whatever they're doing over there. And everybody else in the school gets turned down.
Or even as they got more selective, you know.
Yeah. We only come to see if there's one person we want.
It didn't really matter why, but you're right. That, you know, maybe they would take the valedictorian, but they weren't taking the number five student in the class.
Right.
And yet they were perfectly willing to take the number 125 student if he could run or block.
Well, I mean, the one school that...
And I do realize that has been a problem for them. That's a long-standing thing that, I can remember it going back to when Holtz was the coach. So, yeah, that's there, but what I'm saying is that there are plenty of really good schools that produce linemen.
Yep.
They can get them all the time. They can usually get a pretty good quarterback because there are, you know, a lot of the really good schools still get good quarterbacks. You can take a pretty good running back and run and have a lot of success running behind a really outstanding offensive line. I remember back in the day, you know, after Ricky Waters and Rocket Ismail and those guys were gone, they still had Lee Becton. Well, you know, Lee Becton is a guy that when he pulled a hamstring, Holt said that he didn't know Becton was fast enough to pull a hamstring.
Sounds like me.
Nevertheless. Becton went on and had some really big years running behind those lines because they were so good. So why would you run this finesse, stupid, offense that, it's my opinion, stupid, obviously. But this really, like you said, this start in the backfield, type of offense. Why would you do that when it doesn't, what it requires talent-wise is what you have a harder time getting.
Well, because at Cincinnati, if you up the pace, you beat up everybody else in the division. It's like if we have the best basketball team and we fast break, we're going to run the other guys out of the gym. But in the NBA, you're not going to run anybody out of the gym.
And even in college, there've been a lot of teams that do that, but at some point it stops working.
Right.
You know, when you finally run up against the really good teams, they don't care. they can match you speed for speed. So
all right, Kevin, thank you.
Play fast. Let's play fast.
Kevin, thank you very much, buddy. We got Wayne Matson that's called in, helping us out here. We'll talk to you. Maybe I'll talk to you this weekend. Actually, I have to.
Okay.
All right, Wayne. How are you, buddy?
Oh, very good. Very good.
Thanks for calling in.
Circus in Washington.
Well, I started the show. There was an article, and I'm trying to, since I wasn't in the room and don't want to be in the room when a bunch of 17-year-olds are drunk and doing whatever. They feel like doing it's, you know, I was reading this article earlier about, I don't know if you caught it this morning, they interviewed somebody about what it was like at Georgetown Prep back in those days.
Yeah.
And right. The guy said it was absolute free-for-all, 14, 15, 17-year-olds, you know, sex all over the place, drugs all over the place. I had no idea.
That was just between the students.
Yeah.
You know, there was a infamous priest who taught there named Gary Orr, who was basically arrested some years ago, and he was accused for several years of... it was an all-boys school, but he was accused of molesting the students. So it was not just between the students. Apparently, it was the Catholic school associated with Georgetown University.
You know, Wayne, I tell you what, I know that the listeners and Shirley Maddie, you've probably figured it out, I must have grown up in a phone booth or something, because on the South Side, there was always a little bit of action someplace, but the thought of people sending their daughters, not to mention, their sons, I don't know, but their daughters off to these women's 15-year-old boarding schools that are having unchaperoned parties with other guys 15 years old with drugs and booze, and at somebody's house, unchaperoned, with sex flying around the place, and not even a bowl of rubbers like they put out in the condom. Sorry for the thought of that happening. Every parent I know would have grabbed a gun. I mean, would never have happened.
We're not talking about your normal, boarding schools or private schools in the middle of the country. This is Bethesda, Rockville, Northwest Washington, where, the people that send their kids there have a lot of money. So we're talking about wealthy, very wealthy people.
But I know some wealthy people, the kids work there at high school.
That doesn't take away from, the sexual assault charges being leveled against Brett Kavanaugh.
But anyway, this article, this guy says this was amazingly routine. He went to these parties, and everybody's messed up, or he's 15 years old. Everybody's looking to have sex, male. And I'm not saying who's jumping who, but I can't even imagine that world, Wayne. I've never been in it. I mean, in college, obviously, when people got to be 19, 20, and 21, there was some, parties I wish I hadn't gone through, that type of thing. But at least you're of age. You're supposed to have something, your head screwed on a little straighter. There's a big difference in a 20-year-old and 15-year-old. Sometimes they don't act like it, but I mean, 15? I can't imagine that somebody not know where his 15-year-old daughter was.
This is the environment. I was in Washington in 1982, and I remember Georgetown was not like Georgetown now. There were bars everywhere, and the Georgetown students would be there. I think there was a lot of underage drinking too. We're just talking about the difference between Northwest Washington, Georgetown, and Maryland in this case, and they're really, it's all the same.
What? Well, I went out every night at Notre Dame, and I was never 21, but I never got invited to a party with 14-year-old girls running around available. God, where would I have found one of those? I wouldn't even know where to look.
I think it's not clear. Holton Arms is the school that is associated with Georgetown. Now, it's not; it's an independent school, and it's had a lot of famous women have gone there. Jacqueline Kennedy, I think, went to middle school there.
Bobby Kennedy's kid went to Georgetown, right? Didn't Bobby Kennedy's kid overdose at this Georgetown thing?
Georgetown Prep.
Yeah.
Like I say, it has a pretty bad reputation. But see, this reputation followed apparently Kavanaugh to Yale, where he was a member of a club there that was, very misogynistic, called the TNC Club, and I won't tell you what that stands for.
I can only imagine.
And then it seemed to follow him into the, he's currently on the DC U.S. Court of Appeals, where he says he likes to have his women look a certain way, and his friendship with this Judge Kozinski, Alex Kozinski, who was a judge on the 9th U.S. Circuit in San Francisco. Kozinski was forced to retire this past December. This guy was running a porn site, and he was also guilty of sexual harassment of several of his law clerks. He was a professor, students, other professors, even a former female judge, and he was forced to retire last year. But when these allegations about the porn site first came up in like 2007,
was it a good one? Was it a good one?
Well, he says it was. I guess it's his typical thing. Oh, it was just some artistic stuff, and no insult was. But the thing was, had hardcore porn, and then he would show his female clerks. Well, getting back to Kavanaugh used to clerk for him, and then when he got in trouble, Kavanaugh, who was sitting on the bench in Washington, called him, and this is probably what is in the documents that they don't want to release from the archives. He said he was just checking up on Judge Kozinski's mental health. Well, Kavanaugh's not a psychiatrist. I mean, what is he doing now? What is he doing that for? Well, they had a judicial review panel look into the charges against Kozinski back in 2007, and it was chaired by Antonin Scalia, who said well, he's apologized and let's move on. So there seems to be like this culture on the federal bench, which Kavanaugh helped bring in there from his earlier days, which, you know, I think it's justifiable, this question of suitability for the Supreme Court, because there's a lot of female law clerks that work there as well.
I just don't want it. I have a very small sample, Wayne, and it's very unfair probably of me to even say this, but the couple of times, I mean, I know you've lived out there in the swamp, the couple of times I went to dinner or had cocktails with people from the CFTC and the SEC, and they can't wait to give you their background, right? They're all were like that. You know, I went to this place, yeah. I went to that place, I clerked for this guy, and all of a sudden I'm in the CFTC. So, you ever, like, trade? Well, no. You ever, like, been to a trading floor? Well, no. Do you know how clearing corps work? No. I mean, duh. I mean, they're not dumb people. I mean, don't get me wrong. They get, you know, good education. So, but I mean, I'm like, what are we doing here? I just don't want those kinds of people in charge of me. I know I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, but I don't, what do you think, Matty? Am I way over the top on this or what?
I don't think you're over the top. I mean, I don't think everyone needs to be a trader, but
you'd
like some people to have some real world business experience, and a lot of these people don't seem to.
And the morals are just not ours. I mean, I don't know of anybody who's ever done any of that stuff. I mean, obviously in college I knew people that did it, but you're 20 or 21. I mean, are these places?
I think Kavanaugh would not have. He would still have a problem, and he might not get put on the court if he. If he didn't have these views towards women, he'd allow youthful indiscretion, at least he understands, but he doesn't. He every ruling he's made has been against, a woman having control over her own self. And so I think that is what has really, raised eyebrows with this guy's background.
Well, what happens, Wayne, procedurally?
There were probably guys on the court, well, we know Clarence Thomas, his background, but he like Kavanaugh, won't give women a time of day when it comes to their issues and rights and whatnot. And,
well, so what happened at this the thing in this article I read this morning? They said as soon as the Kennedy's kid essentially died from an overdose, they said a lot of the parties used to be at Bobby Kennedy's house. Because the mother evidently didn't pay too much attention.
Ethel.
Yeah, and then the kid overdosed. And then after that, the FBI came in and things cleaned up pretty reasonably well after that. They're not like that today, are they? I mean, at these places, what are they like now? Same thing?
I think in this current environment, especially after the sex scandals at Georgetown Prep, and including involving, that one priest, and there was probably others, as they normally do, they just what do they do with the priest who was getting caught having, molesting, underage boys at Georgetown Prep? Well, he moved them up to Loyola College in Baltimore, where, he would have access to college age boys. I mean, this is just, but I think in the environment where, the church has been, rightfully, investigated for this and sued, and with the Me Too movement, I think probably I would be surprised if the situation at Georgetown Prep is like it was back in the 80s. But, the whole thing in Washington is a lot different now than it was in the 80s. For one thing, marijuana is legal now in D.C., so you don't get the heavy drinking. People smoking, but they tend not to be as rowdy.
The marijuana legal, is that a 21 or an 18? It's got to be a 21 to get it.
I think it's 21. But, obviously, joints are being passed.
Yeah.
From 21 to 17-year-olds, there doesn't seem to be as much a problem. I remember Georgetown just as a rowdy place, and this is when all this was happening in 1982. I mean, the drunk students, staggering down the street in groups, usually in groups, and that was just the way it was. That was, the second year of the Reagan administration people say times were good. Everything's relative.
Well, Wayne, what is the, if this goes sour, I'm not, because I honestly, I've tried to stay as much as I can since I wasn't in the room, and I don't know. I'm not going to be on either side signing a piece of paper against this guy or for him because I wasn't there. Other people seem to be able to form great opinions on what goes on behind a door. They weren't there. But anyway, I can't. I just don't like the privilege part from the get-go. So whether or not he was guilty of this or not, I just...
Well, I think that's, you know, when Thomas, these charges came up against him, the FBI did investigate. And the FBI, it's called the Federal Bureau of Investigation, so I don't know what Trump's talking about when he says the FBI doesn't do that. They do. That's in their title. And they did the one on Thomas in, like, record time. And to hear Grassley and Hatch, who were on that committee, say, oh, yeah, you know, we needed the FBI to investigate the charge against Thomas, and now they don't want the FBI at all involved. I mean, this is just total hypocrisy from these guys.
Well, that's what they're good at. I got to ask two questions, Wayne. We don't have that much time. One is, do these guys even realize that it's not 1955 anymore, that they can't do this stuff without everybody knowing about it? When they sound like buffoons or they say something, I love Coca-Cola, and 6 months before you put out another tweet that were the same guys saying, I hate Coca-Cola. Don't they realize that that's going to happen? Or are they that? Even I can figure that out. So. I'm the biggest luddite on earth.
There's this congressman in South Carolina named Ralph Norman, Republican, who said the other day to a group he was speaking to, he says, oh, yeah, now the latest is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said she was groped by Abraham Lincoln. But see, he forgets that there's been things called iPhones and people are taking, you know, a recording and a video or audio. And this guy got caught. And the video is all over the internet now. I mean, now this guy can, you know, that's just an awful thing to say.
Don't they get it?
Member.
But how do they know? I get it, and I'm the biggest Luddite on earth. I mean, these guys are worse than me, for God's sake. I mean, the segment of what I really want to get to is, what is the procedure now for this guy Kavanaugh? I mean, if he falls two votes short, or two things. One, it never comes to vote, then what happens? You got a new Senate coming in. They're never going to vote.
If he's not confirmed, that means they're not going to be able to get another justice nominated in time for the election. That means we'll have the election, if the Democrats take the Senate, which they're given, some polls show they have a long shot to do that. I think the Democrats in the Senate will require Trump to send a person who they can approve, or else there's going to be an 8-member Supreme Court probably up until the time of the 2020 election.
Yeah, but that's not unprecedented, though, right? Haven't there been a long period of time with only 8?
Yeah, we'd have other vacancies. There is a possibility, too, that even if Kavanaugh makes it, that there could be a move by a Democratic Senate and Democratic House to impeach him. There is slight precedent there. President Johnson nominated a guy named Abe Fortas for the court, and then it was discovered that he had all kinds of financial scandals. And in 1969, there was a move to impeach him, but he resigned instead. He resigned the bench. So that's a possibility, too. Of course, you need 2/3 for an impeachment in the Senate. But if it's a blue tsunami, I think a lot of Republicans will say we better be on the right side of this. You know, they'll be able to probably pick up about eight votes or 9 votes, whatever it takes.
Well, what is the practical application? But while we have you, one more question: if there's an 8-8 Supreme Court and some big something comes out of appeals, it's a big deal. It's an antitrust case. It's something. And it goes there, and it's 4-4. Then what happens? I don't have any.
It actually goes back to the U.S. Court for the District of Columbia is the appeals court. And that normally is where every case goes before it goes up to the Supreme Court, and so that the decision of the lower court would stand in that case because the Supreme Court isn't able to render a decision. That's why appeals courts are very important, because sometimes they have the final word.
So if everything, I mean, has there been a series? I mean, I know there's been eight people on the court. Has there been like a 6-month time frame where there's five, four, four decisions? I mean, there has to have been at some point.
We've had other vacancies, like the after Scalia died. Yeah, you had that situation for a while. So,
but wasn't Roosevelt? Or
and then, of course, the Republicans wouldn't confirm Merrick Garland.
Yeah, that's right.
Who actually sits on the same court with Kavanaugh?
Well, but isn't there? Wasn't there a period of in somebody's administration where it was a period of years where it was 8-8?
I don't think it's been that long to have a 4-4 court, so that might be kind of unprecedented. But these are unprecedented times.
All right, Wayne, thank you very much, buddy. You're a lifesaver. We're going to get you on for a full chunk next week if you're around.
Oh, okay.
And you're supposed to be coming to visit here and buying me cocktails. Where you been?
We have to. I keep telling my colleague Andrew Craig, we got to get out there.
All right, buddy. You don't even have to buy. We'll make Webby buy. We'll make Weber buy.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, buddy.
Even better.
SP Futures down a buck. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Low and replace tax checks. I'm Tom Allen. Just met Weber and the board of Mr. Jan Neal in a second. SP futures up a whole 50 cents, Dow up 27, and NASDAQ is like unchanged. So not much going on here this morning after a big rally yesterday. However, we do have oil up 58 cents, $70.90. That's a big move there. 10-year yield 3.078, so showing no sign of heading back south. So maybe if we stay over, creeping up here. It's going to wake somebody up someday. I don't know what it'll wake them up to do, but it'll wake them up. Just in general, it'll wake them up. DAX up 51.4%. FTSE up a whole point. 74 is ahead. A big problem with the Brexit meeting yesterday. It didn't come out so hot, but people must have loved it. The market's up one. CAC round up 31.6%. Over in Asia, we've got rallies here. These guys have come way off the lows earlier in the week. Nikkei up 195.8. Shanghai up 68.2.5. They were under 2,700 at the lows for a long time. Now they're almost 2,800, 2,797. Hang Seng under 27,000. Now 27,953, up 1.7 today. So obviously they must think they've got some kind of a deal with somebody, or else I don't know what they think they're going to win or something. I don't know. Whatever winning would even be. Oil up 58 cents. Brent up 89. Spread is back up to $8.80. So we're pushing back up again. Natural gas, 2.94. RBOB up to 2.04. It's a pretty big movement here. And this is kind of a phenomenon here this morning. You got gold, the precious metal, down 2.7, $2.70. Copper up 5%, which is 5 cents, which is 2%. And silver, which is kind of a half industrial, half precious, is up 9 cents. That's a pretty big move up on silver. It gold's going the other way. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports here for that kind of uneven report of mine there.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash, Chief, to the west of us, I-88, the Reagan Memorial eastbound, just before I-355. There's a crash blocking the right lane that's causing some congestion and slow traffic as folks navigate around that. So keep that in mind if you're coming inbound from the western burbs. That's an issue. 290 is all good as far as accidents are concerned, but high traffic volumes are building, which is normal. Same with the Stevenson. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning, which is great news. Traffic building on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents or issues to report. Only other concern in the area is we still have that ramp closure on I-355 that we reported during the last update. Southbound at Lake Street, there was a crash, and that has the exit from southbound 355 to westbound Lake closed due to that crash at Lake and Swift Road in the western burbs. So keep that in mind. If that's your exit, you're going to have to take a different one. Weather today, temperatures are dropping throughout the day. We were about 80 degrees when we came in this morning, 79 at 6:30. Right now we're at about 77. So our high is kind of what you're feeling earlier this morning, and it's going to drop throughout the day. Shouldn't get too cold, lower 70s. This afternoon, partly cloudy skies, which will be pleasant, and we'll be in the 60s overnight, and then it's fall football weather this weekend, which will feel good after a couple of 90-degree days. Right now, it's overcast and 77 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, temperatures not too bad there. Sunny skies, a high of 99, a lot better than it has been. Right now, it's sunny and 80. In sports, big crosstown classic is underway this afternoon, Chief. Cubs are on the south side taking on the White Sox. It's a 3:10 Chicago time first pitch. Jose Quintana takes on his former team in that one. Cubs' magic number is down to 8. Cubs were off last night. White Sox were in action. They won in Cleveland. First time in 9 tries. They walked off, or didn't walk them off, but beat them in 11 innings, 5-4 last night. Matt Davidson had the game-winning hit in that one. Diamondbacks were off last night. They host the Rockies this evening. And Thursday night football, it was the Baker Mayfield debut. He came in after a Tyrod Taylor apparent concussion and stormed the Browns back for their first win since 2016. And they topped the Jets in Cleveland. 21-17 was the final in that one. Chief.
So is there any chance of a total washout this afternoon so I don't have to play golf?
It doesn't look that way. I think you're going to be out there. So, yeah, you got to talk about that. So, Chief John has not played golf in 3 years?
3 years.
Somehow he thinks he's just going to go out there and be fine.
No, I don't.
I hope you brought some ibuprofen or whatever.
I didn't, but I... So John, get a little of this. The guy who's, well, I'm going to say invited me, so I'll be nice, invited me, dragging me out to our high school golf outing. Anyway, I'm his guest. So Greg, who's I mean, he's worse than I am. So He says, why don't we go hit like 100 balls to loosen up and then have lunch? I go, Greg, if I hit 100 balls, sit down and have lunch, you're not getting me back out there at all. I mean, what are you from Mars?
Right.
Let's go out and swing, loosen up a little bit and have at it, just see how bad we are. I mean, what are you doing? Anyway, Jana, it's not up to me to criticize anybody, especially somebody who, friend of Dr. J's. But sometimes people's politics can get in the way of their thinking. Now I look at firms that I see have incredible pricing power, even if they haven't used it yet. Home Depot's, the Lowe's, I mean, you name it. There's how many toy companies are left. This is a comment from Kramer. Kramer says it's highly unlikely tariff costs will trickle down to consumers. Maddie, is there a fourth grader who would believe that?
Not this fourth grader.
I mean, how could that even? You're telling me that the cost of bringing in steel nails that Home Depot is going to eat that and not pass it on to you? I mean, why would anybody think that? I mean,
it seems.
Answer is you wouldn't.
You wouldn't. It's such. I mean, that's an asinine comment.
Yeah, I would even. I mean, all of a sudden, if the steel tariffs on cars that adds you know, $2,000 to the price of a car, that General Motors is going to eat it? I'm thinking that. Now, I will say this. If you went back to the first time you did micro or macroeconomics and you look at the effect of a tariff, now, and I'll be brief here, but if we lob there's a 20% tariff on steel from China, all right? Now, if we can't make any steel here at all, and there's no other place in the world to get steel from, you can probably guarantee that the $100 worth of steel is now going to be 120. All right. I mean, but that's very seldom the case, because if there is a steel company here, actually, maybe not even there, because the Chinese company might eat some of that. They might say, we don't want it to go up $20, but guess what? We'll eat $2 of it, and it'll go up 18, so it'll actually be 118 or 117 or 116. But if you do the graph, the graphs are not, I mean, the lines, you're never going to get the exact $20 up, okay? But now if there's a substitute steel in Korea or someplace else, there's no tariff on, then I'm going to say the Chinese group eats more of that. That they, when they come in, it may be 105, 108, and the Korean steel companies, or if we have any, gleefully raise their prices to 105, 108, 110, somewhere, depending on how the substitution, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. It's every single product that you put a tariff on has a totally different scenario to it, whether if there's substitutes here or substitutes other places, how that all works. Maybe the Chinese will find a way to ship the stuff to Korea, or maybe the tariff might only be 5%, in which case it only goes up to 10. There's a million different stories in the Naked City, and every product has its own story. Am I right, John? And so you never really know where to go. So it's never going to go up the full 20%. It's going to go some thing of that. Now, if it's steel on a car, okay, coming from someplace, and all of a sudden, maybe General Motors eats some of it because they sit there and go, God, people, if I can't raise my price to $35,000 a car, but I can raise it to $33,000. So General Motors will eat, you know, $2,000, and maybe the steel coming in, they'll drop their price a little bit because they can't drop their steel that high in the market because there's other places people can go. So every single product has this entire choreography going through it, which is my criticism of this group, because I don't think they look at the detail and work it through at all, Jan. I mean, or I don't care. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do, or there's probably somebody in Washington that does, that knows way about more of this than I do, but I don't think he's sitting in the Oval Office and giving these reports, because I think these guys think it's all detail. And I sure as hell don't think Wilbur Ross has the capability of going through, because I'm just watching TV here and they're saying, you know, there's like another 100 products they're putting stuff on. Every single one of those products is going to have a different amount that you have to actually eat. But every one of them you can count on is up some. So that I'm going to say that the 20% tariff on 100 different products, your prices are going to go up from, you know, 2% to 18, depending on the particular product. I mean, if we get 10% of our steel from China and 90% from the U.S., which probably isn't true, I'm going to say the price goes up 1%, because our guys will find a way to nudge it up just a little, just to take advantage of the fact they don't really have a competitor. But I mean, this is so complicated They just be lobbing this stuff out there like you're going fishing, for God's sake. That's my criticism. That you know, whatever. So anyway, talk to me about the market, because nothing I can do about that, or you either. But do I sound like I'm making sense or not?
No question. It's always seemed so very arbitrary to me, and you know, everything I'll get, and it's pretty ridiculous for the most part.
Have you had any luck on the marijuana stocks this week? We had a couple people that made a couple of bucks and then said they were lucky and stopped. they made like a couple dollars out of the stock and said that was it. And then they didn't go back in, which probably made sense. Win your first race at the track, drink your beer, and go home. That's crazy stuff, isn't it? It's like, it reminds me of the .com days.
Well, that's exactly it. That type of stuff. You know, if you look at those, for the most part, you're talking about companies that are missing a couple key components, profits and cash.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to find anything fundamentally, you know, good with them. And, you know, people are, I mean, they're just trading these things, you know, they're just looking at the technicals and trading these things. And, you know, I've got, you know, about zero interest in them, you know, at this point. You know, I think there's a lot of good things in that industry, but as far as, you know, meaning, you know, for the public and things like that, and for medicinal purposes and whatnot, but as far as something to invest in, other than, they're almost like casino things right now, and these, the drive that you just see from these with the advertising and whatnot, but, I mean, they're like these things you get in the mail, these penny stocks,
yep.
and, you know, and all that crud, and, yeah, way overblown, you know, as far as what it is. Now, obviously, somebody in the end, Tom, or several companies at the end, they're going to be probably tire houses in this industry, but unfortunately, we're not there yet, you know what I mean?
Maddie, I'll question you, not because I know you know anything about marijuana, but you've been in a couple of the states that have the recreational stuff.
Sure.
And I'm going to say, I'm going to explain how it is here, and, I mean, if you can, enlighten me and everybody about... But here, Illinois has municipal marijuana, and there's probably 12, 13 growers, maybe 20 distributors, something like that, 25?
I would say it's growing, but I'd say those numbers are probably accurate.
Well, there haven't been any new distributors named since the original bill, nor new growers.
There's a lot of distributors on the waiting list, we shall say.
Okay, but...
I think that there's people trying to get into it. But I think your numbers are right.
Actually, since I know somebody in the business, I know they're right. So okay. But I don't let anybody know how much I actually do know about this. But right now, the tax, it's taxed as a drug, so the tax is only 7%. Yet everybody, the prices are all monitored all along the way. So I'm going to say if you go in and get a prescription, it's probably $300, like somewhere along those lines. And maybe... The distributor guy pays the grower, I'm going to say half of that. I don't know that for sure. But say your wholesale cost is $150 and your retail cost is $300, and the state gets a 7% tax because it's now medicinal. So the idea that the state's going to make a lot of money off of medicinal marijuana is simply not true. Okay? Even though most people think they are. Now, when they move into the recreational stage, my question to you is, does it become more competitive, or is it still locked in at the 300 number? And does the tax go up? Because now that it's recreational, there's no reason to only be able to charge 7% like you can on a prescription drug. I'm thinking that the tax bounty to the state goes way up. But can you confirm that, or do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. None.
So when you go into one in California, I mean in Colorado or Washington, I'm not saying you ever have.
They're in Oregon now. They're in California now too, I think.
But is the price exactly the same in everyone?
They're in Vegas now too. I honestly wouldn't know. I'm trying to think.
It's $300 for like an equivalent of an ounce here. Maybe not, whatever.
It's very comparable, but everything is, I don't know that I've ever seen where you can buy like an ounce. At one of the recreational shops.
Well,
you're buying in smaller quantities.
Well, the $300 is for some number. I mean, obviously, if you're buying less, it's not going to be $300. But I just use that as a that's the normal prescription
size. I would say that what I saw in Colorado versus what I saw in Las Vegas versus what I saw in Washington.
Is Las Vegas recreational too?
Yep.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
Yep.
That Massachusetts too.
Yeah, that just, Vegas just happened about a year ago. And so now, as you can imagine, people are walking down the sidewalks on the strip smoking pot.
Well, I mean, I guess if I had
my point was,
imagine that.
Yeah, it's all the same. The pricing seemed all the same to me.
But if they maintain the medical pricing structure for recreation and don't allow any competition, for God's sake, what a gold mine. What a gold
mine.
Well,
I don't think they have, because what they were charging seemed reasonable to me, I remember. As far as, you know, if you were buying edibles or you were buying a joint or whatever, it seemed like it was taxed, but it didn't seem, you know, crazy medical prices.
But did you see a sign anywhere that said, say an ounce? I mean, I don't know what the quality. There's got to be some way of measuring how much actual pot you're getting, whatever it is you're getting, be it brownie, be
it. Oh, yeah, it tells you how much is in there.
Okay, so.
It's a lot less. I mean, they're small quantities of really potent stuff.
All right, so let's say, for instance, I'll go back to my years. I was never much of a pot smoker, but let's say it's an ounce. Did you see anybody saying, Matty Weber's pot store, you know, $50, save $50 an ounce here? And did you see any advertising like that?
I didn't, which leads me to believe that it is pretty well regulated as far as, you know, pricing. I didn't see any sort of, like, you know, sales or anything like that. It all seemed like it was about the same price.
I'm just going to suspect that they found a way to charge more than 7% of taxes.
I'm sure they did. And I know in Denver for a while, and this may have changed, but they were only cash only.
Well, that's still the way it is, because you can't, and trying to find a bank that'll do it. Only a state charter bank will do it if you can find
one. So they've gotten around that, sort of, where they now have some sort of like an ATM type thing where they don't actually have an ATM where you go in and get cash, but like you can swipe their little personal swiper thing and just send it from your checking account over without it actually being on your card. It's strange. I can't remember exactly
what
they did.
I'm stunned that if you have a national bank, like, I'm not asking you where you, but say, for instance, if you banked at Citi or Chase or someplace, I'm stunned they make that transfer. I'm stunned. Because I don't think they'd do it here in Illinois.
Yeah. I assume there's some sort of like third party, that middleman in there during that transaction that, I don't know if it blocks it or blinds it or what.
Right. There would have to be, because that's one of the bugaboos that the whole industry is what to do with their banking, you know. That's one of the problems that they need to solve, and maybe that's how they solved it, man.
Well, because I don't, first of all, I'm closer to this than, I'm not an investor, but I know quite a bit about it, but it has not been solved. I think people are still walking into the, whatever it is, State of Illinois building with a big sack of cash and saying, here's your tax. I think it's still happening.
Right.
I don't think you want to let anybody know who your bank is. If you have one. I mean, I think there's people that are paying the growers cash, and I think they're trying to find a way to see what happens. But yeah, I think the state's even taking their tax in cash. Or at least they were. I think in Colorado, Matty, was there any hint of a credit union? Because one of our friends, a contributor to the show from Colorado, said that they were using a credit union as a solution, that everybody who wanted to be a user and a distributor, that they were joining like a credit union just for a purpose, and they were transferred within the credit union, which would make sense to me. But it's hard to if you went and started a credit union in Illinois, you can't just buy, you know, St. John Fisher Credit Union and retool it for marijuana users. You may have to tell a state we're starting a credit union, or we're changing its purpose from a parish to all marijuana. You probably get away with it, but you're definitely gonna have the blinking light out there. I mean, it's hard to hide. Just saying.
Well, you know, and once again, it's one of the problems they've had is, you know, having banking relationships with normal, you know, business type banks. So, you know, for that industry. So.
To be honest, John, if we didn't love what we did at PTI and being on the air, I would love to own one of these banks and do business for that industry, because I think you'd make a fortune.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah. Right, because they're, you know, starving for that. And I actually have a client that left what I would call just she was in mainstream industry, and she went as a controller for one of these one of the big ones in town that distributing it has multiple facilities.
Well, do you have you don't have any of this in Arizona, do you? Or you got medical?
We have medical, and that's what I'm saying.
Are your growers all inside or outside? And normally they're all hydronic. They're all inside. You can't. There's not a plant outside. You can run and grab a leaf and dash. California.
I don't know the answer to that one. I'm not sure. You know where they are permitted to grow it, or you know how that all works. But I'll tell you this: they're everywhere as far as the. The pharmacies, though, and one of the biggest places, is Sun City.
I can imagine. But Maddie, in California, I think you can grow it outside. As a matter of fact, there was somebody from the trading floor I haven't heard from in 25 years. I find out he was looking for some money because he had a little farm in California. In order for you to be a grower, you needed, 100 acres, and he had like 95. So he was looking to be able to buy the other 5 acres so he could grow the stuff. But you grow it outside there. I mean, that would be wild.
By the way, we tweeted at Jim Cramer that we think he may be losing it based on his headline. And he tweeted back and he said, "Will all tariffs is the key. All won't. Look at the retailing stocks."
Now look at the retailing stocks. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
I could look at a stock price and I say, Matty Weber is getting a lot of sex today. Look at Trojan stock. I'm like, what does that even mean?
So
what is the connection?
I guess he's saying I haven't read the whole article yet. I assume you haven't either. But maybe he points out which ones won't.
Maybe.
Which ones won't?
I don't know.
How could some affect people and some not?
I think that the retailers now think they have the pricing power to absorb it. That they're going to be able to raise the price of the nails 5% and still sell as many nails. And you know what? They may be right. He may be right. So the headline probably does not say exactly what he said, which is not whoever wrote the headline screwed it up. But it is a CNBC headline, so it's not like it's somebody else.
Yeah.
I think it flows through. But try and keep your finger and follow this thing from the dock to when the federal government gets their check. This is very simple. I mean, and I think nobody understands it. The thing shows up. There's a bill of lading. There's 9 bazillion pounds of steel. Okay, how much is that worth? It's worth $4 million. Okay, give me a check for $800,000 and I'm out of here. I mean, that check goes to the government. You can't tell me that $800,000 isn't passed down the line. How could it not be? Some way, shape, or form. It's just gonna, the guy from China is gonna absorb the whole $800, or they're gonna put it down the line. Can you imagine that happening, Maddie? And this isn't even your field.
No, I can't. By the way, we only have about a minute and a half here. It's coming across Twitter right now that Addison Russell's ex-wife, remember that whole thing that broke last year where there was rumors of him abusing her? She just wrote a long article on the internet and detailed everything she went through, from emotional abuse to physical abuse to lying to cheating, and really throws him under. And it's not good. It's not good. If it's true, I would not be surprised if he is suspended or, traded or released or something. I would not be surprised. And I assume Theo's going to get asked about it a ton today by Chicago media, especially when you're in town and you have both sides of town of the media here. So stay tuned for that.
You know, out of all the players that I've seen play in Chicago that I don't know, I always thought that he looks to me to be one of the most gentlest, nicest people. Boy, can you be wrong or what? I mean, I wasn't there, but that guy doesn't display any sort of temper. I wouldn't begin to think that he was like that. Would you?
Based on his on-field demeanor, no, I wouldn't. He's soft-spoken. He doesn't show a ton of emotion on the field. He plays under control. He plays calm. He's not a super fiery guy. You wouldn't think he would have a crazy temper because, when something doesn't go his way on the field, he kind of shrugs it off and is on to the next play, at least it seems.
Yeah.
But obviously that doesn't mean anything.
What about, we only have a minute, what about the basketball guy that confessed that 341 women while he was dating and married to this lady?
Yikes.
First of all, how do you keep count?
Yeah, I know.
That is special.
That's what I wonder.
That is special. That's you know, my question is, did anybody ever come back twice? You mustn't have been very good.
Plus, it was, that was that old adage. Didn't Will Chamberlain said that he had slept with 2,000 women in his life?
Oh, I think an awful lot of ladies
crazy like that.
This is a political. I won't go there. I think a lot of ladies just wanted to go visit Wilt. SP futures up 375. Dow futures up 53. Back on Monday. Stacks and Jacks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.